March 7, 2019, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
don't let truth map its way into you run. And when scared men define you, they cure you of your hiccups but blind you.
Pedro Show. The rain finally stopped. We've had a very wet SoCal last coming on 3 months now. And, you know, we need the water and everything, but maybe not after everything got burned up because of mudslides and shit. So please, Mother Nature, a little calmer. Anyway, the sun's out. I'm not with Brother Matt. We'll see him Saturday. Willie Nelson's granddaughter. She wants to come to Pedro and talk to us. But I'm not totally man alone because of the most genius engineers in Estonia who came up with the Skype software. I got Cole Guerrero with me in Durham, North Carolina. Welcome aboard, Cole.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and in fact, we started he was curious about which John Coltrane song I picked for him because he's a fellow North Carolina guy. In fact, not too far from him, Cole was telling me maybe 70 miles was High Point, and not too far from there is where he was born in Hamlet.
Yeah, just a bit west of where I am in Durham, exactly.
Right. So, yeah, you're in music country. Incredible. I mean, for somebody like me, a big inspiration. And we played the first part of your, I guess, opera. I read it was called a song cycle, but I guess there's different names for these kind of things where it's a big song made out of lots of parts, right?
Yeah.
And this is called Charmer. And the whole piece is I Am Casting. Or maybe that's the Proj name, and then because you have a couple other albums right under this name.
Yeah, you deduced right. I mean, I Am Casting, although that was initially the project name, I think that's just the name for me kind of going forward, actually. And so Carnival Barkers is the name of the album or cycle or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the previous thing, the legit kind of thing from years ago was under my name, Cole Guerra. That was called Scarves and Knives. And I had a smaller thing or two before that. They were just kind of small potato regional, kind of get gigs with it sort of things. So yeah, I Am Casting is the artist name moving forward.
Well, let's go way back. What's your earliest musical recollection?
Well, I got two streams here. One is the old, you know, piano lesson stuff, which started really young, 5, 6 years old. But probably the most concrete memory jumps out at me is sitting at my kitchen table with liner notes from Styx's Cornerstone. I think that was the name of the album. This would have been late 70s, so I was probably, I don't know, five or six years old. And my mom in particular was really into listening to music, so I, before I have real memories, was pretty exposed to stuff that she was into when she was, I think, a teen, really. And she was still in her mid-20s at this point, so it was a lot of, you know, she was in the Beatles, she was in a John Denver, Simon and Garfunkel. I mean, all that stuff was playing. But I remember the first time I asked her to get this album was Styx's Cornerstone. I don't know why. I had a song so different than the stuff from this era that I listen to now. Do you remember the song, Babe, I'm Leaving?
I had a landlord. He's a sweet guy. His name was Vince. And his favorite three bands was Black Sabbath, Bruce Springsteen, uh-huh, and Styx.
Styx. Okay.
That's so terrific. He said they were the band that was most enlightened to the LSD thing because they had a stage set up where it opened up like a flower and each dude had a petal. But I love Vince, always remember, you know, that's why there's more than one band, right? You were talking about piano lessons, so maybe there's a piano in the living room?
Yeah, although, you know, thinking back, they didn't play. They actually got it, you know, secondhand specifically. I was the oldest of a few kids, three kids, and they got it so that we could learn piano. So, again, my mom in particular, I believe it was her as the driving force, you know, got this piano and we started taking lessons. And, you know, it's kind of the story of the stuff I was learning to play classical music when I don't really have, I felt like it was sort of chore-like for a long stretch.
Well, I was going to ask you, I've had lots of people on the show and some of these piano learning experiences almost like chased away from music forever. But some people had really good experience. I think it depended on either on the teacher or on the material or maybe a combination of both.
Well, it's, you know, in that balance, too. I think when I mentioned that the first actual memory that jumped up to me was not playing, not actively doing it, but it was listening. I mean, again, my memory for this is fuzzy and secondhand, but I'm told that, you know, as I'm in preschool even, when they have breaks for, you know, free time, I'm going over to the corner turntable by myself with teachers trying to coax me out of the corner because I'm putting on 45s and 33s, you know? So I'm not surprised that the memory that comes up for me is sitting, you know, at the table listening to these late 70s, early 80s albums, you know? So I think it was probably that. It was that I was really, I loved listening to music, and obviously, you know, my taste changed as when I got to high school and look back. That era, late 70s, early 80s, is really enormously, from mid 70s to early 80s, probably super influential for my songwriting, I imagine. But none of the, as far as I can tell, none of the stuff I was listening to at that time as, you know, an infant through, you know, early elementary school or something. But yeah, I think I was super into music, but not because I was playing piano. I mean, I look back now and I'm thrilled that I was somehow cajoled to stay at it. I should ask my mom how she did it. But I hung in there, and eventually I did, you know, I liked it, and I had to do the, you know, the recital thing. I remember having a back and forth with a teacher at one point because I really wanted to play ragtime and some jazz, and I remember it was a big deal that they allowed me. It was like middle school era. Everyone was playing their classical pieces, and I got up and played something that I was supposed to play, and then got to play some Joplin in addition, you know? So, and then I still ended up, I think, bailing midway through high school and then picking up guitar and whatever. But again, I don't think I'd be doing what I'm doing if I didn't have those, that early exposure to being involved in making music.
Sure. And a lot of cats, man, I didn't want to play piano, you know, and I wanted to play rock and roll. I wanted to get a guitar. But if you think about it, actually the first rock and roll is piano. It's not guitar. Guitar came later. You know, Little Richard. And it goes back to R&B and Boogie Woogie and, like you said, Mr. Joplin. Interesting. Good left-hand bass lines with Mr. Joplin. I'm glad they relented and let you do that. But there's other skills,
too. Yeah, I'll pretend that I can still do all that.
You probably had to learn to read, right?
Yeah, you learn it, but you forget it, I feel like, just as quick or quicker. I mean, by the time I was in my 20s, probably, by the time I really got around to songwriting, if you put sheet music in front of me, I could stumble through it, but I can't do much with it in the way that you would expect, I think.
I think the aphorism is, don't use it, lose it.
Oh, yeah.
Here, we'll go play Flood.
About their homes, lose hope, lose faith. You do what you can to win a race. Here comes the flood to wash the banks of blood. Come out to the Capitol steps. Slow down, you need your breath. Something's wrong, but you only know what they look like. You only know what they look like. So what's the harm in selling time to those whose time has come? Shame the victims, move some papers. Seize the assets of the traitors. Here comes the flood to hide the holes you dug. Come out, there's no barbed wire fence. Slow down, knees are spent. Can't point to anything, just feel they don't belong. But you only know what they look like.
s'est passé. Mais maintenant je dois déménager. Mais je n'ai pas le coup. Je ne veux pas plus travailler. Je ne peux plus payer le loyer. Je n'ai sa prière te dessine, ta salle de lune, avec un peu plus de thunes. Et veste sur veste bâtonnée, des bières qui vous foutent la diarrhée. On envoie. Officialisé, la tour de prix est parée. Ma peau est à vous, arrondissement à bombe, un maillot maréchal, un hyper centre ensemble, ce serait l'idéal.
Show no expression now. I'm told that makes you a victim somehow. Take off your pretty dress, put on some jeans, you're bound to get messy.
make me limp. So I swivel the crutch. So I swivel the crutch. Try to squeeze off around. Squeeze off around. And the crowd starts screaming. The crowd starts screaming. People before prophets. People before prophets. Fresh meat, tomatoes. Fresh meat, tomatoes. Suddenly to see your Galilee appears before. Suddenly to see your Galilee appears before. Appears before. For me to drive a silver V12 milk upon. A silver V12 milk upon. Fitted with 7G tonic. It's fitted with 7G tonic. It's amphibious. It's amphibious. And the bullet bounce off it. The bullet bounce off it. Hold on. Hold on.
while your face relaxes, and you find your mind relaxing.
20, here we are.
Too many times before, I have tried to lay it down, but the world that I know I cannot find. One too many things have found their way inside. They will leave, never to rise again. It will take a lot of time, take a lot of time just to leave it. Take a lot of time, take a lot of time to leave it. If you see the light, it will surely bring you down. Too many docile minds, flush it from the head, from the toilets of your head. You can flush it, and then you come on down. Well, take a lot of time, take a lot of time, believe it. Take a lot of time, take a lot of time to be good. Before my eyes, it'll take a lot of time, take a lot of time.
park the car, put the bits in the window, hold the jewels in the box of briefs. There's nothing they won't do. He'll be gone. Find a crack in the window, crawl outside the breeze. The lies, what's new? Are we strong? And stop looking through the windows. Maybe you're betting. There's a limit, there's a lesson. Wait a minute, it'll be hard won. Maybe we stop looking to hide. Dreamers, the frightened, and spaces, the titan. The night. Follow the rules, get a perch on the window, grow the jewels in your box of briefs. Everything will feel true. Now he's gone. Found a crack in the window, climbed outside, said I'm good as new. I look strong, it's my reflection in the window. Maybe you're betting. There's a limit, there's a lesson. Wait a minute, it'll be hard won. Maybe we stop looking to hide from dreamers, the frightened, the spaces, the titan at night.
Watt for Pedro Show. Yeah, we started that chunk of music off with Flood from Colguera's new album. Under I Am Casting Progeny. That is such a trippy... yeah, usually verbs aren't in names, usually.
Yeah, I just wanted to make everybody stumble.
It's great. brand new from Seb Radix in Lyon, France. Piscale Deserte. Terrible French, sorry. And Colbert, this is under your own name. This is what you were talking about a little earlier about before you came up with the Iron Cast, and that's something called Downtown. Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Downtown... actually, that was written not long, it's the closing tune on an album called Scarves and Knives, and sort of my very brief take on sort of like a moment around 9/11, actually, sort of this idea of, just someone living down there and kind of having just an anecdotal sort of experience in the time after 9/11. So it's just a snippet that represents that.
I had to start a tour on that day.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And the first gig was the city in San Francisco. And so it ended up it was canceled. I did it at the end of the tour. So Scarves and Knives is more, but it was more of a collection of songs. It wasn't really an opera, right?
Yeah, it was more straightforward. I mean, there was some sort of, links between a few of the tunes, but not like the new one. I mean, Carnival Barkers definitely has like thematic ties throughout.
And
pretty early. Yeah, and early in the process, I knew that it was going to be that way. Sort of one or two tunes in, I decided that's what I wanted to go after. So yeah, different for sure.
Yeah, great. We had Blurt. We had Ted Milton on last month. Incredible. He's like middle 70s. He's still wailing on it, man. Fresh Meat for Martyrs. Lauren, new record of rarities, Undead Dogs, Mini Beasts. That's Peter from Mission of Burma, Uni, and Too Many Docile Minds from Eugene Chadbourne. He's Greensboro, professional huge with Sun Watchers. He did an album where they covered a lot of Minuteman records. He was in SoCal too in December, but I was in Denver doing some gigs. It's my second band. Fuck. Remember, he had this band called Psychobilly, and he played Rake, Electric Rake. And then finally, the third part of your Carnival Barker piece, Linda. So, In school, I want to ask you about school. Were you in the choir or the marching band or the, you know, any kind of school program, music program?
I think there was a year there where I played clarinet, I think was the thing they handed to me. I feel like everyone was just handed something. I don't know that I picked the clarinet.
I got handed the clarinet.
Yeah, I love it now.
First year of junior high for 10 weeks. His name was Mr. Luna. After 10 weeks, you know, it was one of those elective things, right? He said, Mr. Watt, you try hard. I must have said this 1,000 times on the show. It scarred me for life. Mr. Watt, you try hard, but why don't you stop wasting your time and my time? And then he looks at the class, our time. So I didn't go for the next 10 weeks.
Oh my!
I never went back there. Speech. But I never.
Yeah, I'm sure he delivered that speech at least twice a year.
Anyway.
Yeah, I couldn't get past the reed. The feeling of the. I remember the feeling of the wood on my teeth. I just couldn't. I don't know what it was. I couldn't get past it. So, but I did a lot of. The more organized stuff I did was largely, I was doing a lot of theater growing up. So I was performing, but it wasn't really, you know, as a musician. Well, I take that back. I had my really, really potent middle school band playing the dances. That was exciting.
I was going to ask you, did you have the thing with like the garage band or the basement band, the bedroom band with friends after school, that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so middle school. And the culmination of our efforts was, in fact, the middle school dance.
Well, the other guys, you know what other guys say, the talent show. In fact, I was part of one time a talent show at high school.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this was, I remember the band name, we somehow lasted a couple of years, was Suspended Animation. <Your bad. laughs> We played horrible covers of, you know, 80s tunes that wouldn't be 80s tunes you'd reference now as, you know, important or influential. Yeah. And then I think maybe in a couple early attempts at writing a tune that I took.
Oh,
swing
really?
And miss.
So you started learning how to write real young. That's good.
I did a couple of tunes. They were really, and then I kind of abandoned that. I think I did a couple of tunes here and there, and then didn't really get into songwriting seriously until, it was like my mid-20s when I got into it for real.
But what about bands? You still played in bands? You just didn't write stuff?
So middle school I was playing the whole time, and then high school some, and then. Actually, I stopped playing in bands halfway through high school. Again, I was doing more of the theater thing. So I was taking that pretty seriously for a while. I was still playing. Like, I picked up guitar end of high school. I was the guy, shortly after school, I was the guy in the corner of a bar playing covers, you know, paying for my rent by playing for 3 hours a night, 5 days a week with my acoustic guitar. That was a bunch of my early 20s.
Who was a big influence on you? Because the new record's a lot of piano. I don't hear a lot of guitar.
Yeah, I went a different direction. So, I know. Well, I referenced that late 70s or mid to late 70s, early 80s stuff. I know that in high school and then in college, I was super into like late 70s Brit pop. And then the kind of new wave post-punk movement, in the U.S. And so probably the bands I listened to most when I was in high school was kind of looking back and pulling up old XTC and Squeeze and that kind of Elvis Costello, Graham Parker stuff. In fact, I was lucky enough to have Graham Parker's drummer, Steve Goulding, play. He's the drummer on Scarves and Knives. That stuff was hugely influential, I think. Some people have been referencing, you know, with this new record, like Peter Gabriel era Genesis or his early solo records. I definitely was into his early solo records.
Yeah, you know what, though, with that band, you know, a lot of it for me pretty corny, right? I'm 13 years old in 1970, so I know a little bit about this time. And But he made an opera, a double album with these guys called The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know it well now.
It's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
I had the 8-track. I had the 8-track, but it's about a young Puerto Rican kid who's looking for his brother, and he finds out it's him. I guess he cuts his dick off and shit, all this stuff he has to go through to find out his brother is actually him.
Yeah. I don't know if the lyrics hung together all that well on that double.
Well, you know, I heard a story was, because this is the end of the band, right? He's going to leave the band. He won't record with them. So they do all the music. Then he comes and brings in the words, and they said he put the words all the places where they wanted just music. And they wanted the words, you know, he was contrary to what they their vision. But what happens, their second drummer sings just like him, so isn't that funny?
And what's the album right before that too? That's come up. I mean, again, I discovered that stuff later, you know, and
well, that had a little opera, right? The Musical Box or some shit.
Yeah.
Foxtrot.
Yeah.
D-Boom's brother, Joe Boom, was really heavily in. But I did like Lamb Lies Down on Broadway. I don't know.
Selling England. Was it Selling England?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, maybe that's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Out by Friday.
And I think the thing maybe that people are hearing, I'm guessing, but what I associate more with the, I don't know, just my personal taste, or maybe some of the Britpop was, I tend to like sections to tunes. I definitely pretty intentionally move away sometimes from the verse, chorus, bridge, chorus thing.
Oh, yeah. Formula.
I like section. I like a song feeling like it's moving, or just maybe one part that unravels a little bit. And so that section thing happens in, I guess, what would be conventionally called prog rock, but there's also a lot of noodling in prog rock, and I don't noodle really. So, but yeah, and if you listen to that, you know, that late 70s stuff I was referencing earlier, I was always struck, and again, I was pretty impressionable at this point, so I'm like 13, 14, 15 listening, just by how, and I guess this maybe is where the piano background came in, like how interesting the chord progressions were. Like they just did some sort of crazy stuff. Andy Partridge with XTC, and I wasn't even paying attention to lyrics. I mean, I couldn't tell you a single lyric for these bands I liked. It was really just about the movement of the progressions and the melodies that did it for me, I think.
A lot of departure from blues, I think they were trying to do with prog, because they felt a little guilty because the Stones and Yardbirds. And
yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? And say, hey, we got roots too, but they're like Beethoven and rock and stuff, right? And so they went overboard that way a little bit. Yeah. Music's an interesting thing. It's a dialogue. It's a dynamic thing. And so what if it gets compromised and mixes in with stuff? I have no problem with it.
I love, you know, just bumping into stuff.
In fact, it's an insight for me to hear you relate these. I don't really hear this in your music so much. I hear you.
Yeah, well, that's my hope, right? I mean, I can kind of say what I listen to, but maybe part of that is going back to the early memory. I mean, even, you know, now, my whole life, I feel like each week I'm listening to new music. I'm excited to hear new stuff. And so maybe nothing got in there so, like, so uniquely that it shaped everything, you know?
Sure.
Which I guess is a good thing. I mean, I told you, you know, via email when I was college, was much like when I was sitting at the kitchen table. I would go into this place called Warehouse Records. I still remember it. In Ann Arbor. And I remember that's when I got introduced to the Minutemen. So here I am years later, someone knowing I'm into music saying, have you checked this out? Because I knew nothing about just, that, you know, sort of a range of music that had happened, obviously, before I got to high school or college. And I don't know, I found it was fascinating. It just felt like I kept learning, kept getting exposed to new stuff. And the stuff was different enough, I think, again, that it didn't lend itself to me end up, hopefully, me ending up sounding like X, Y, or Z, which that's good news,
sure,
I guess.
Sure. You know, if, for example, you want to eat some corn, but you need some manure to grow that corn. You don't really want the corn tasting like manure, maybe. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, March 7, 2019 edition of Walk Pedro Show. Special guest, Cole Geyer. Hold tight for hour two. March 7, 2019, it's the second hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
Well, you heard, Bob. Come on down. Off the sofa. Take your best guess and kindly eat this. Give them a moment to hide. Did you get close enough? If you get close enough, are you gonna take another one? How you gonna make another one? How you gonna make another one? Love me, love me now. If you put a wolf at the door, that'll keep his meddling to a minimum. Put a smile on your lips that was growing in a crib. It's dirty, it flows out of his artificial nose. Scan for threats encased in lead, exactly right, encrypt and fit them. Smile on the lips, hide what's in the crib. Don't throw the line, spend too much time.
Yeah.
take this dying body from me. Fooled by the limit I can't understand, take my body and hold my hand. Take my body and hold my hand. Fooled by the light of the canopy, take me away from the old holly. Leaves falling down from the sky. I'm left here to wonder why. I'm left here to wonder why.
Way before. on our way to greet a new day. I look in my reflection and I say, I've never been more me, but I am this way before. It's a good day to live. It's a good day.
Till trouble comes, tell them that you've always won. You get a thrill, and if they figure out you put them on, well, you made a clay, so we know you'll find a chef to use to come back anytime you want. Fill your heart. They said the job would sober you up. You've got older without growing up. Why stretch to reach when you're right behind you? They said the job would sober you up, but it's not enough. And your memory is ripe. Mold into a little town to spend the night. Yeah, you made a clay, so we know you'll find a shape to use. Come back anytime you want to fill your heart. There's a featured part. They said the job would sober you up. You've gotten older without growing up. We stretch to leave. There's no master plan, so you work on your sleight of hand. You'll reach till they fight. There's no aftershave, wipes away the stench that's on you. Watch them spin the room,
like they know what you're doing. They get a thrill, though they figured out you put them on. To make a name, they know they can find some ways to use. So come back anytime you want to fill your heart. There's a featured part in a show that ends with a shrug. Nothing more. Lo and behold, it's about money as much as what you know.
Well, for Peter, so start off the second hour with Wolf. I have casted his new piece. And Bob Pollard. See, I told you to get stilted. You have to say these motherfucking things more and more. With Zeppelin Over China, he's got you beat by 100 records, right? 102 records.
Yeah, I get to say that again.
Yeah, you get to say that again. Yeah. Then the Horizon Arisen out of OK City. Holly was Fame and Josh Hayden, Charlie Hayden's son. And Tom McDonough's with very difficult title to say, What Will Be Will What? You know. And then finally, Clay, I Am Cast. And the question I'm putting forth to you is regarding Carnival Barkers. What you were hinting at earlier, that getting a couple pieces into this thing, it was going to require a big ten. It wasn't going to fit in one song.
Yeah, so by the time I was starting to write lyrics, which is a little bit late in the game for me usually, I got some idea where the music's going for at least a few of the tunes. I wrote one of the tunes already played Flood.
Yeah.
I believe that was the first one I put lyrics to. And it was spring 2016, so the whole primary process was unfolding with the Republican primaries. Trump was heading the pack at the time, and there were, you know, comments about, you know, sort of, again, to paraphrase, you know, Mexican rapists, et cetera. And felt to me like a lot of fear mongering and really trying to, you know, almost make group differences more salient to people, and then have people view the other, so to speak, as threat, right, as threatening to them. And so playing that up, it seemed to me, for political gain or for, you know, so for power. And so Flood was really about that. And as that political stuff was playing out, it just seemed to me that there was a lot that I could get at in terms of the psychology of the political scene. And, you know, I know it was really written during a very specific time, but it's probably relevant just generally some of the stuff I was trying to write about in terms of the exploitation of people's fears and group differences. And I started writing a few tunes. So I knew that was the tent. The tent was going to be the psychology of, or kind of various angles I would try to take on what was happening. So a few tunes were about powerlessness, so people impacted by those in power. So a song called Helpless, which is on the new album, would be one of those. There's a tune called Muggers, same kind of thing that's getting at. So trying to approach the idea of really malignant persuasion and how it played out, a little bit from the perspective of those doing the persuading, and a little bit from the perspective of those who were maybe getting screwed over.
And what I'm thinking is, these issues are these issues. They're so nuanced, you couldn't get it in one tune. You couldn't get it in one verse, one chorus.
Oh, no. Yeah, and so, like, I didn't even mention, for example, one of the major things going through it is kind of almost a Pied Piper tale that I try to weave through it, you know, the Pied Piper of Hamelin, so like the opening tune, Charmer, yeah. Wolf. These tunes are really just sort of about, you know, this notion of being drawn by a sort of, well, Pied Piper, you know, someone selling something or someone trying to maybe get you to buy into something tied to a monetary or other reward for them, or for revenge or spite. I mean, that's in the initial Pied Piper tale. He doesn't get paid, so that's for right. spite, he suckers the kids into it, you know, it pulls them into, okay, so, you know, what are the motives behind someone's persuasive efforts, so to speak? And that's, you know, so the charmers, the snake charmer kind of thing, Wolf, there's a sort of, you know, I think that opens with, you heard Bob, come on down, sort of a reference to the Bob Barker, almost like, again, Carnival Barker.
Sure.
This guy as a... As a talk show host, you know what I mean?
Sure. Kind of jive.
Yeah, that's
okay,
right.
We're gonna play Anchored here from the piece.
Thank you. till I cry again in the name of love. Don't ask me why I stand here and cry so many tears for wasted fears there, turning love into pain again. Where nobody's baby, here we go again. Nobody's baby, waiting for a train. Nobody's baby, until I cry again in the name of love. Your fears are my tears, but one sincere, we're here to set us free from fear. So, darling, please be of good cheer. Please hold me tight, nobody's baby. Before we say goodbye, nobody's baby. Oh, I cannot lie in the name of love. Nobody's baby. Before we say goodbye, nobody's baby. Oh, I cannot lie in the name of love. Your fears are my tears, but once sincere, we're here to set us free from fear. So, darling, please be of good cheer. We're nobody. Nobody's baby, until I cry again in the name of love. Nobody's baby, and here we go again. Nobody's baby,
I'm only going to say I'm only 10% happy. I'm only going to say I'm only 10% happy. I
Thank you.
try and find another way to feel? Do you feel helpless? Are you trying to find another way to feel? Do you feel helpless? That's how he wanted to make you feel.
Watch for Pedro Show. We just heard "Helpless." I am casting, right?
Yeah, there we go. The there
piece.
We go.
Right, right. Just what off air, Co was enlightening me, add more depth to what he's discussing with you people. Before that, Remorse Code with Cover City, Patrick Grant ahead of that with the Sound of Burning Chairs, Crushed by Pimps out of South London with 10% Happy. Before that, from the Netherlands, Graf with the Luida Schoenen. Taff Falco, he's got a new record. And Nobody's Baby. Love Taff. Code Hangers ahead of that. They were on the show last week. They came my prac band. Getting Mad and Pumping Iron. Awkward before that. That's Devin Hoffman. Okay. Black Flag. With the two bass only proj. Two called Bass Wars. And we start all off with Anchored. I am cast. You know, Anchored, kind of like a counterpoint to all this, you know, floating around and being played on and played out. How far along was Anchored in the process?
I'm trying to remember. I was clearly also messing around with the titles, you know, Flood, Anchored. I had all these one-word titles sort of referencing each other as I went along.
Well, let me ask you about the process. Were those one word, so they're like working titles?
So the working titles were probably just, you know, as generic as whatever the first word I thought of or the first word of the first lyric. So okay. I kind of intentionally came back to those titles later.
Okay. No, because there's people like me who have to like kind of start with the title or I got no fucking focus.
Yeah. And I would usually find a phrase, you know, that would kind of feel meaningful to me and be about the topic I wanted the tune to really focus on, whatever that particular angle or perspective was for that song. And then I would build out from that. So the first line, actually it would be strange for the first line to be the first line of the tune for me. It might be a line that does, you know, ends up in the second verse somewhere or in the bridge or whatever.
Yeah, with the tradition, it's usually the chorus, right?
Yeah, and that I'm trying to think. I don't think
I remember the first Killing Joke album. There's like 8 songs, and every title is what they sing in the chorus.
Yeah.
War Dance.
Well, that's the name default for sure. Yes, exactly.
Right. Requiem.
Yeah.
Oh, there is one instrumental. They don't say the title. Okay. Interesting. So was there a point where you thought, I can't just be writing one song after another. I'm going to have to, like, storyboard this out?
Sort of. I didn't get that. Maybe I should have gotten that involved. I think what I did was I realized I had enough about any particular thing, like whether it was this idea of powerlessness, I thought I could come at it at least 2 or 3 ways. And I knew I wanted that Pied Piper sort of thing to show up a few times during the album. So I knew I needed at least a few tunes so it could carry itself through, right? So yeah. Right there you got 5 or 6 songs. I knew I didn't want Flood to stand alone in terms of it kind of getting at this group differences, way in which that's played on for political purpose. So I wrote Window. You know, so there definitely was a way in which I had this idea that I wanted a few tunes touching on a few main kind of core themes, and it didn't work out exactly like, you know, 3-3-3 whatever, but it is more or less, you know, like that there's usually a partner song or it's a group, it's in a triad of tunes, at least for me. I don't expect, frankly, 99.9% of people who hear this to have any clue that's happening, but for me it helped as I structured the album.
Well, like John Coltrane, he spells out the prayer, right? Love Supreme. Some dude found that, you know, but can you imagine stumbling onto that? But, you know, and also, like, he says Love Supreme 19 times. Why 19? You know what I mean? So I think it's okay that some things are internal, and maybe it'll take a buttload of years. But you know what I mean? Because I think there has to be some kind of integrities. And just because something has integrity in the personal world doesn't mean it's understandable, maybe.
Yeah, and also, Mike, to get away, even at the very here and now, sort of like what's going on with this album, I mean, how many people are giving it the listen you're giving it, or really kind of thinking about it as an album this way, or even actively listening to full albums? I mean, that's a whole other discussion, right? Even in indie world I'm in now, right? I mean, it's Spotify singles, right? I mean, it's not the album. So I think, you know, there's a lot of stuff also working against there being some sort of understanding more broadly, like you're talking about, beyond the artist or the person writing it, knowing it, unless, again, they, you know, end up on your show and they get an opportunity to talk about it. That's really it.
Well, that's part of my debt to the movement, is bringing cats on like you that I find really interested in. Notice, I play all the parts of this whole piece. Because I think that's how to understand. I mean, the tunes stand on their own. But together, man, it makes a big work. And that's why, man, I'm very grateful to Howard. Look, we're at the end of the second hour.
On
March 7, 2019 edition, Watt Pedro Show special guest, Cole Guerra. Hold tight. Hour 3. March 7, 2019. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Struggle breathing, the sense of coming unglued, a bit of the sense that they lost, that they worked hard to lose. He waits an hour or two, then 10 to call.
just to use the bathroom.
Channeling to Grandpa grinning with the well-placed world.
Show start off the third hour with I Am Cass and piece of Carnival Barker's Almost. You want to say something about Almost?
That one's got almost no lyrics, so that one kind of is a bit unique in the mix of tunes on the album. Has a sax solo in there, a guy named Tim Smith from this area. I don't know. It's sort of a fleeting moment. That's probably the tune on the album that is least explicitly tied to these themes we're talking about. It's kind of the point I was getting at was more, you know, this sort of failed connection, this inability to connect to one another, but through the lens of this, I don't know how many, whether 20 words in this song or something, you know, just
but it has
kind
a lot
of relatable.
There's a lot of feel in the rhythm, though. There's a lot of feel in the harmonies, in the delivery.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When John Coltrane did that song Alabama, I mean, there's not one word spoken, and there's a heaviness you can feel.
Yeah, and so I was going to say, you know, we've been talking about lyrics, but for me, some of the not only connective tissue in the record in terms of connecting the songs tonally, but but also just frankly what's most important to me often when I'm writing is the music, more than the lyric, to be honest, even though it's easier to talk about the lyrics and it's I feel good, I feel pretty solid about these lyrics. I mean, really, if I don't feel good about the music underlying a lyric, I'll just toss the whole thing. I don't care enough about the lyric to keep it if it's not working for the music.
Yeah. Sometimes you can be wrong. I remember when I was a boy, right? Excuse me while I kiss this guy.
Right. It doesn't matter. Exactly right. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Hey, the bathroom's on the right. You know, no, it's bad moon's rising. Oh, your moon's, yeah, okay. Fuck that up. Okay, we heard Zero Dent. They were on the show last week with the True Perfection. National Dent with Hey Art Blakey. Nels Klein with Henry Kaiser doing Harmony Jam. Midwestern Medicine. They're actually from Maine. Portland, Maine. With Idiot Allies. And finally, Lullaby by I Am Casting. Very emotional tune there. I'm going to play here the Muggers. You were talking about this earlier. That said this was one of the early themes.
Yeah, sort of this powerlessness. It pairs with that tune Helpless.
Right. Let's listen.
You can fool all those people all the time, we're dreaming. Lean back, talk fast, and smile. You don't look like you're coming apart at the seams. Coming apart at the seams. Coming apart at the seams. And you don't look like you're coming apart at the seams. Coming apart at the seams. Coming apart at the seams. No fine lines for these heady times. Outsized the cartoon like drawing, map out of plea. Ready now, you're bleeding. Can't bear to watch a meeting. Climb fast, steady your grasp. You don't look like you come apart at the seams. Come apart at the seams. Come apart at the seams. You don't look like you come apart at the seams. You come apart at the seams. Come apart at the seams.
Watch for Pedro show, you know. I'm sure Dante was like that with his Commedia, you know. Well, last music for the show, Muggers, I Am Casted. The details within back, the details from Romania. I know not a Romanian name, but they're from there. Colgara, this is before, from Scars and Knives, Hocus Pocus?
Yeah.
Yeah. So an earlier incarnation.
That's much more, yeah, that's, you know, kind of more guitar-driven.
Sure.
Yeah, tune, yeah.
I'm glad you floated to me so it gives some perspective on the new. And then Groove Crater Method. That's Brother Phil, he's up there in Big Bear. A lot of snow. Jump Into the Fire, Harry Nilsson tune. I love that. That's Herbie Flowers on the bass in the real version. Original version, I should say. I Am Casting Finally with Seams. And that's not, it's with an A, people, so it's like something you sew. It's not, an adjective.
Yes.
And I was talking off air with Cole about how he did this, you know, what was the process, and it was mainly a man alone, all the way from the production to most of the instruments. Tell us.
Yeah, so when I got back after a number of years not writing, and... way I got back in is just I was really interested in the recording process itself and tracking, and I hadn't done really anything with that. Scars and Knives have been really tracked in a New York studio with a bunch of musicians and kind of finished up in North Carolina. And this time around, I bought some software, you know, recording software and a MIDI and, you know, sort of ability to be able to play both my real instruments and also virtual stuff, and just started messing around. And it ended up that's when I started writing Flood, the first couple tunes, and I was just liking it, just in a spare bedroom, doing my own thing, playing, you know, keys and guitars and bass. And then what I found was that though I am friends with and really love some of the local drummers around here, that when I was laying down my own drum tracks, kind of like, you know, hand-driven me on MIDI pads kind of thing, that they're kind of unusual drum parts, but they really shape the tunes themselves. I found that I would come up with something, a percussion part, and it would lead me to end up changing what I was doing with my melody or the feel of the song generally. And I liked it enough that I just decided, all right, I'm not a drummer, obviously, but I think it's important enough to me in terms of what it's doing for the feel of the song that I'm going to keep coming up with these percussion parts and then do the rest as well. So it just kind of took off from there. So there's a drummer playing on two tunes. I think the last tune of mine you just played there called Seams.
Yeah.
That has a drummer named Stephen Kaufman on there. He's playing one other tune. And there's a bassist playing on Seams as well, Pete Kimosh. And then a couple horn players. But other than that, it's for better or for worse, it's me on playing everything on the record.
So these percussion ideas, how would you relate them to the drummer, man?
First, because I kept of the 11 tunes on the record, 9 of them are just, I kept it as me, so I didn't have to relate it to anybody else. I just played it, and that's what you end up hearing on the album is me doing it. The two that that I had Steven involved in are probably the most, I would say for drum parts, you know, are more conventional drum parts. I mean, they're not kind of rhythmically changing a lot to impact the structure of the song. That's where I would have trouble, and I have had trouble in terms of the live thing, trying to figure out what to do percussion-wise. And when drummers, so the guy who mixed it, Ian Schreier, is a drummer himself, and Steven, when he was playing these two tunes, I showed him a couple others. And it was funny, before I showed it to him, I was like, I have this third tune I want you to look at. It's called Clay, and I think it benefited from a real drum versus my hands and all the stuff I'm doing through MIDI. And he said, no problem, it'll take me like, I said, do you want me to send you like a chart or something? You want me to chart it? He's like, it'll take me 5 minutes, Cole, don't worry. And the day before we're supposed to record, he calls me and he says, Cole, I'm 5 hours in, I haven't finished charting it. So it ended up that I kept what I did for Clay, even though I wanted a real kind of real drum kit sound, and I had to really goof around in the mixing to get that.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre. I mean, like, the percussionist I know will listen and be like, it's clear that a drummer did not write these parts. You know what I mean? I it's definitely a unique component of the record, and I like that I did it. I don't know if I'll do that again. It's pretty intensive, but I love doing it this time.
Well, this brings up another thing. You going to bring this to the people live?
So partly because I'm struggling with that, so I'm going to do a couple things locally. So in the Triangle, you know, Durham, Chapel Hill, Raleigh area.
Sure.
But unlike previously when I would tour both solo and with the band for Scarves and Knives and for stuff I did before that.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to put out, I hope, in the next year another record. So I'm about 4 or 5 tunes into a new record.
Okay.
This one you're playing came out only a week ago. I mean, but and my hope is at that point I'll have this body of like 2 records of really recent stuff, and that's the thing I want to take on the road.
Okay.
I feel like I got super behind and missed a number of years writing, and I feel like if I go on the road, not only will I, you know, just lose more money and I have a day job and all that stuff, I'll just lose time writing more. I'd rather get another album out and then tour at this point, and hopefully through the records, people figure out who I am and have an interest in coming to see me live versus the other way around. We'll see where that goes.
Well, you know what Orson Welles said, no wine before it's time. You know what I mean? If you don't feel it's ready to go out, and I know what you mean. This was like Get Back in the Boat record, and you weren't even really thinking about doing gigs. This was just getting back in the boat.
Exactly,
so
right.
You're thinking about, now I want to put together a gig. Because, I got my sea legs back. Right?
It's exactly right.
Okay. I love what you're doing, man, and I want you to keep on keeping on, truly, Cole. It's a big honor to have
much.
Me on the show, truly. And what you did here, a lot of balls, man. You know, but you let the freak flag fly and you weren't afraid. Well, maybe you were afraid, but you just put it out there anyway. I love it. I love it, man.
Mike, it was a privilege to be on the show. Thank you.
And like you were saying before, music is music. That genre stuff is stupid. Where can people find you on the internet?
My website is iamcastingmusic.com. So I am casting music, all one string. Bunch of links from there to, all your streaming services. My band.
No, but I'm glad you have your own website. It's like everybody having their own fanzine. iamcastingmusic.com. People, check out Cole. He's on a mission. And I want him to keep pushing. It's beautiful. People, it's been the March 7, 2019 edition of Walk Pedro Show. Special guest, Cole Guerrero. Keep your powder dry.